Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. Hello, this is Carl, and we are going to start our program here in a very short period of time, Bible study on Freedomizer Radio. We'll go for the next hour and a half, and I'm going to make my way to the area that I'm going to work in, and we will continue. We're expecting another person, Raven, to come on. Until she comes on, I will give you a phone number to call in anywhere from continental United States. You can call this number, and it's toll-free in continental United States, whether you're using a landline or you are using a cell phone. The number is 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208, and that will be anywhere in continental United States toll-free. Now, you can call in, and you can ask a question. You can call in and make a comment. The one thing that would be handy, but it's not a cardinal rule, is that if you do call in and ask a question or make a comment, if you could keep it to the context of what we're talking about, what we're doing, but that is, I'm not going to remain rigid on that. So if somebody has a question about the Bible, I will attempt to get an answer from the Bible. Now, that's the one rule I hold on myself. I'm very slow to give opinions. Won't say I'll never give them, but when I do, I'm very, very cautious to make sure you know it's opinion, because like Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:7, in fact, I'll read it to you. In 2 Timothy 2:7, he said, consider what I say, but the Lord give you understanding in all things. That's the one rigid rule I've got, whether it's my study I do, or any of the studies I do, or any of the answers I give. I always want to be giving them from the scripture, because nobody can give you what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who inspired every word in this book, can give you. The best that anyone can do, and I mean anyone, and anyone, as you know, anybody knows from their grammar, includes myself, the one speaking. The best we can do is to point you to the Word of God. He is the teacher. That's John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:13. We're going to continue today on a message that may never end, depending on how long Jesus takes to return. And that is the cross of Christ. And every week I say the cross of Christ is the single most important decision. When I say the cross of Christ, I'm not being like, for instance, some persuasions believe that you're talking about the actual cross, and if you have a little sliver of the relic or a sliver of a piece of clothing that people wore or whatever. No, I'm not saying that. When I say the cross of Christ, I mean the sacrifice of God himself as a human being that willingly made in order to save our soul. That's what the cross of Christ means. God willingly gave up his life as the only sacrifice that would definitely restore. It's 100% necessary and 100% sufficient was the cross of Jesus Christ. And by the cross, again, I don't mean the material, the wooden beam. I mean the sacrifice of God himself, for he became a human being and willingly gave up his life in order to save our souls. In fact, You know, I feel I'm saying it about the way I want to, but let me read something in 1 John that will here, it's from the scripture. And I can't say it as well as the scripture can, no matter what I do. So let me read the scripture. I'm going to go to 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to read 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And him is his Son, Jesus Christ. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation, which means payment, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Herein is love, which is the single largest, biggest, most important characteristic of God that we need to focus on. Because without the love of God in me, in other words, my love can never, as a human love, can never accomplish what God can accomplish. It is the love of God in me that God actually works his love in me. And if I am a willing and obedient preacher, teacher, minister, God will actually show his love through another individual if they're willing and they're obedient and they're walking in his ways. So herein is love, not that we love God, because then I earn it, I deserve it, I merit it. The grace of God, and grace is something that we can't earn, we can't merit, we can't deserve. We can do nothing to keep it. It is a gift of God. Remember, in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says in 2:8, we are saved by grace through faith. We are not saved by faith. Please don't fall into that trap, because then you're putting some of the burden, in fact, most of the burden, in fact, all of the burden eventually will come down to the fact that it's your faith that saved you. No, it is not. It is the grace of God. Titus 2:11 says exactly the same thing. It says the grace of God for salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God for salvation has appeared to all men. We are saved by the grace of God. Then we go back again and apply that to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not God, for he that loveth not, let me start over. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In other words, if the love of God is not working in an individual, I don't care where they've risen in the academic world, even in Christianity, you do not know God. That's not me saying that. That's the Bible. The love of God, does it actually flow through you to other people? Now, let's say you're sort of the way I am, slow to apply things that I intellectually understand. Don't make a works out of this. Just ask God to show you. Do you have the love of God? Well, how do I know if I'm born again? Let me give you something that will help you there, because this is a starting point. The Holy Spirit, Romans 8:16, I'm going to go to. And it may sound like I'm rambling, but I'm really not. I want to build people that are disciples. I want, through this program, if I had any wish, it would be that we are discipling people. Yes, do we preach the gospel message and salvation message? Yes, we do. But my focus to a gentleman named Pastor Dave, who gave me the gospel in 1986 for the first time in my life. He gave me the mindset when I first started being a teacher, a Bible study teacher, or moderator in his church in like 1987, discipleship. I want to be here to disciple people. That's why I call this a Bible study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio. It is your Bible study. It's with me, but it is yours. I want to do everything I can to disciple you, disciple believers, and to all of us. As I read the scripture to you, and it helps you, reading the scripture is also helping me. Every word that I say here, I am reading to myself as well as to you. But for the beginning part, Romans 8:16, the Holy Spirit itself will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit will bear that witness. So I know, folks, that I am born again. I'm positive of it. The Holy Spirit has confirmed that to me. I know it. I'm not basing it on the fact that I said a prayer after someone or that I came up to an altar. Not saying don't do that. Don't hear what I didn't say. I'm just saying I'm basing it on biblical scripture as to my authenticity and conviction that I am saved. But a little secret. I about in the middle of November ran into an individual who asked me if I show the love of God. He asked me, well, what about the fruits? Just hold on a minute. I'll bring Raven on. All right. Raven, you on?
Hi, Jim. Good afternoon, Carl. I'm here, Carl.
Yeah.
Yes, good afternoon. I can hear you wonderfully.
Okay. Because I may cut out a little bit occasionally because I'm using these stupid headphones. But I want it always to be. This is a discipling in addition to if people who are not born again hear it, that they will listen to the words of the scripture, and the words of the scripture per Romans 1:16 have the power to convert people. But I want this born again Christians, the moment you're born again, folks, you're going to be under attack, and that is a spiritual war we're in. I want everything that we do, and I've tried. We prayed to God to channel everything that we do here into a discipling session for born-again people. This is the one thing that I have seen all my life as a Christian, which is 37 years and a half years. I've seen this as a weakness. We have a lot of people giving evangelistic messages, and that's nothing wrong with that. But the one thing both Raven and I have tried to do when anything we're teaching, including the radio station here, and she used to be on Wednesday night, is we are trying to disciple born-again believers because most churches don't have these programs. They've got all kinds of entertainment programs, all kinds of church building or planting programs and new believer programs. There's nothing wrong with that. There is a great dearth for someone to let God, again, God has to work through us. It's not something we can do. But to nourish believers, believers need nourishment. We're in this physical struggle daily. In fact, half hour ago, Raven, you sent me a message about the battles, and I responded the same things I'm going through, the battles that we're going through as believers. You've got to have this nourishment daily, folks. You've got to, or you're going to cave in.
Yes.
The love of God that we just read in 1 John 5:4-5, if you do not feel in prayerfully examining yourself, not according to someone else's wisdom, prayerfully examining yourself, and you feel you're not manifesting the love of God in your life, doesn't mean you're not saved. but it could. Use all of these things. And I tried to get this through on Thursday night in the Bible study I had, where this is not all things that were to make out a checklist of thousands of things. Every week you go to church and you get a checklist of things to do and don't. No, that is not the point of the Bible. The Bible is to lead you to your Savior, Jesus Christ. And then once you are truly born again, and I mean truly born again by the Holy Spirit will then work in you to do the things you should do and don't do the things you shouldn't do. To make just another rules and regulations out of this book is a total mistake. Now, having said all that, we're going to go back to the cross of Christ, but why don't you pray, Raven, for God's leading of this? And I don't mean assistance, leading every word.
Right. Yes. Yes. Father, we're so grateful for your Holy Spirit, who if we lean on you, if we truly allow him to live through us, he will lead us in everything. He will, as you say, he will make our path straight if we just rely on you. This is not an every Sunday thing. This is moment by moment. And so now, Lord, we put ourselves, as we should constantly, we put ourselves in your hands, our very mouth. We subject to you as we go through these next 90 minutes. And we just ask you, Lord, to give us every word so that nothing that we say will be contrary to your will. In Christ's name, amen.
All right. Now, before we get rolling here, did you want to say anything or add anything as a result of last week before I start off in another direction?
You know, Carl, it's so funny. Every week when you do this, when you do this program, if I cannot make it, or, and this is your program, this is yours, this is really nothing to do with me. I come on and do this as almost as a guest, if you will. You know, I mean, it started out with me coming on and just sort of helping out and reading, you know, verses for you, and then I would occasionally take your place if you needed me to, and this kind of thing, and then I had my program, and you know, and thus and such, and then I began to come on as almost a co-host, if you will, but here's the thing: I began, and I'm going to explain something about this in a moment, but I began to feel guilty if I wasn't on time or if I didn't make it. And I felt the need to apologize if I was late and whatnot. And I want to tell you, there's something that you said to me a while ago, but I don't know if I never believed it or if it's just because, you know, just because we're Christians doesn't mean that Satan can't ride us, you know. He will sit next to us, right? You know this, yeah.
Well, Galatians 5:17 says that absolutely does happen. That's not your opinion. That's biblical.
Yeah. And he just, and part of, you know, if each of us goes back and looks at our upbringing, our background, and you and I were just talking about this, there are, I don't know how to put this, but let me just say that there are things in our background that Satan loves to use against us, no matter how we were raised.
Yep, and he will.
Yes, and he does. And I don't care if you had the most perfect, beautiful upbringing in the world. He's going to find something. He's going to find something. He may use that perfect, beautiful upbringing you have had and use that against you.
That is a perfect statement. He will use the good against you and the bad against you.
Yes, yes.
Oh, he will.
Well,
Yes.
And I've mentioned this before. You know, I've talked a little bit about how my upbringing was horrific, even up until very recently. I mean, you know, I've had, you know, family issues and whatever. And so, I have family members who are masters at guilt. They love to take, because they know my past, and they, you know, and it doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter. But they just love to say, well,
even if your past was exemplary, the enemy would still figure out. He would call you a Galatian.
Right.
Well, you're not really a Christian. You just think by being good you're going to play. There's no way out of this mess other than
exactly. Reality. Exactly. And, you know, so something happened. In the last couple of weeks, I've been going through some really bad Satan's been fighting me, and there's just some things going on, and maybe a little more than a couple of weeks, but it doesn't really matter. Anyway, so over this last week, it's gotten very, very bad. Like I said, maybe 2 weeks. Extremely bad. And I called Carl over the weekend. Carl, I can't even remember what day it was. It doesn't matter.
I was Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was. Let me pull up the. I'm going to use scripture because you used it even with me. You brought up this verse, and it says it so perfectly. It says it so perfectly because I don't want anyone to say, well, then you must not be a Christian because I don't want anyone to think of themselves this way either when they get to this point, because this is exactly what Satan likes to do to us. He likes to make us think that, well, if you are at that point, do you really know God? Are you really a Christian? What is wrong with you?
Amen.
So, yeah.
And you
so
know what I told you. This haunts me. This haunts me frequently. And even though I know it's not true, it still burns at me.
Yes. So 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8.
So not only do you have Christocentric, it's important that you know that, and although you didn't really ask,
you,
I'm going to help
you. You hear that in the background,
Paul? Not necessarily because I want to, but because I obviously...
No, what's that?
Do you hear another voice in the background?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
okay.
My fault. Go ahead. Hold on. No, hold on. I need to do something. Just bear with me here.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't just me that I didn't have a headphone issue.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. And this is where I was. I mean, I was this low. It was horrific. But I want to go back to verse 3-5, because this is where I am now. In fact, 3-6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You see, we sometimes wonder why we go through verse 8, where we are burdened beyond measure, seemingly beyond measure, above strength. So we're even despairing of life, which is where I just was. I was so bad that, if God had taken my life the other day, I'd have been happy for it. I'd have been like, good, let's go. I'm ready. I'm done. Over this. I didn't want to be here anymore. And I know for some to hear that, some of you are probably thinking, wow. But no, even Paul said this. There are times when we just feel so downtrodden. Satan is just punching us in the face moment by moment by moment. But God. You see, when we go through these things, it is our, and I've used this many times, it is our James 1, 2 through 4 moments. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Today, Carl, is the first day, the first time that I've ever gotten on here, and I didn't even realize I was running a few minutes late. I don't even know how much time, I don't know, 4 minutes, 10 minutes, it doesn't matter, because I got on here and I felt no need to apologize to you. I'm a few minutes late. You know what? The world didn't end. It was fine. It was fine. Nothing traumatic happened because of it. I was a few minutes late getting on. So what? It was okay. It's not, God didn't strike me yet.
Did that bother you in the past?
Oh, every single time. There was so much guilt. That's what I was talking about at the beginning, where I said all the guilt. So much guilt because I should have, all the things I should do. It just didn't bother me today. It was gone. So what?
I got to tell you, Raven, I go through the same I go through the same thing, and any believer will, and no matter what stance you take. Now he's going to tell you, well, you're haphazard because you don't care if you're on. No. He's going to beat you up, folks, no matter where you are, no matter where you stand.
Yes. Now I want it clear. I want to make it very clear.
Yeah, go ahead.
None of these feelings ever came from Carl. Carl never said to me, boy, you better be there on time. In fact, the opposite. He would say to me, don't worry about it.
I thought it.
But no, seriously, he would say to me, it's okay. It's not a problem. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. If you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't. I'm not worried about it. He was never, ever condemning, never made me feel guilty. This is stuff from my past that other people have put upon me. And so Satan took that and used it against me.
Absolutely.
He loves, yes, He loves to use those things against you. So this is what, though, my point here is this. God will allow you to go through these trials, just as he said, so that he can perfect you, complete you, bring you to maturity in Christ. Now, I got to tell you, do I want to go through that again that I went through last week? Please no. Will similar things happen again? Yeah, probably. I'm probably going to go through not the same situation, but more trials and
yep.
more persecutions and more tribulations and more of those things. And the thought of it, to be quite honest, is terrifying. It really is. I know
yep.
we're not supposed to be here and all that.
Honest. Yeah, and you're being
yeah.
honest to put it all to. And this is something that irritates me when I hear people preaching and teaching, and they're telling people, "Oh, that's nothing. No more than having a, you know, biting into an apple and being a bad spot." Baloney, it isn't. Like Paul said, you read that in 2 Corinthians 1. That Paul was beyond measure, beyond what he could handle. He even despaired
yeah.
of his own life. This is what we
yeah.
need discipling to disciple believers, because there are some people, whether they're believers or not, it's not for me to judge, that they like to take something that the Bible is saying is a very serious issue. Oh, it meant nothing to me. In fact, my wife had breast cancer, probably 9 years ago. And we actually heard from church every Sunday. It's because she's got unconfessed sin and her faith is not strong.
Right.
And we actually heard that from church. And I'm not knocking church, folks. I go any opportunity I can get because I need to be fed. But what Raven is saying here, folks, we need not because she's saying it, but because it's reality. This is something this is what I call discipling. We need to take all of us, including us, we need to share in these things with each other, because some of the people today want you to think that this is a cakewalk. It is not.
Yep.
In fact, Raven,
yep.
Raven, what you're involved in here, read Ephesians 6:12. You're there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, something you just said, Carl, and I'm heading for Ephesians 6:12.
Go ahead.
But something
something
you just said, this and something I shared with another Christian friend today. My goodness, this is why we have spiritual gifts, for the edification of the church. We're supposed to lift each other up, not push each other down. We're not
read
supposed
Ephesians.
To say to each other. Yeah.
Go to
Ephesians
4:12.
Okay.
This is the purpose of spiritual gifts. I'm glad you brought that up.
For the
and
equipping
if you don't
of the
have
saints.
A spiritual gift, you, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. I called Carl because Satan was battling me with both fists and all of his demons too. Listen, we must be able to go to each other and say, I am in need, and not have the person on the other end of the phone or in front of us or whatever saying, well, that's because you're just a crappy Christian who doesn't do this and doesn't do that. No, think of Job. Think of Job, who his friends, quote-unquote friends, came to him and just said to him, well, that's because you are so horrible. Now, there was one then that came to him and said, the problem isn't that you are so bad, but, you know, the problem is that you're not recognizing how good God is. Now, that's a difference. There's a difference in that.
Boy,
he's pointing him. Yes, he was pointing him to God. And that's what we need to do. And that's what Carl did for me. He pointed me to God. We need to point each other to God. Give each other scripture. Lift each other up to God. And this is exactly what Carl did for me the other day. He lifted me up to God, gave me scripture, which helped me to get back to where I needed to be. Stop telling each other how horrible we are. We already know we're horrible. Satan's standing there next to us telling us how horrible we are. Do we need to hear more of it? Satan is punching us in the face. You're horrible. You're terrible. He's filling us with guilt. We have so much guilt. We don't need more. Yeah, we don't need more guilt. We need Christ. We need God. All we need is God. And so, Carl, I know, this is not to puff Carl up, okay? I'm not trying to puff Carl up. What I'm saying is,
no, because
this is
Raven,
what each...
Raven, here, you know I go through my demon attacks, too. I mean...
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, the fact that I can help you, that doesn't mean that I'm immune from the attacks myself.
Exactly. This is just for me to say, to point out that this is exactly what we need to do. We need to say, we don't need the preacher up in the, I'm not saying every preacher does this, but I'm saying we don't need the preacher up front saying, if you are depressed, it's because you're a horrible person. If you're depressed, it's because you're not a Christian. If you're depressed, it's because you're terrible. You're blah, blah. You know what he's doing? He's doing the same thing Satan's doing to you.
Amen.
Stop listening to that. Stop listening to that.
Hold on. In fact, Corinthians, the Holy Spirit says that Satan has his own preachers and teachers in the church. Preaching doctrines of demons and devils. And this is why, Raven, I think it's so important that I want to establish the fact that we are a discipling. Are we here to evangelize people and give them the gospel? Yes, we are. But that same gospel that saves your soul will also edify you till the time you go into eternity. And that's what you do well at that. And that's why I think we click in our ideas, is because we help each other. Now you keep telling how I helped you, but the idea of the body of Christ is we all help each other.
Yeah.
And it's a constant backwash. I mean, I give something to you, you give it to another person, and they help someone else. And I mean, this is what the church body has to do.
Yeah.
In fact, that Ephesians 4:12, read that one more time, and read that one more time of what it does, because this is, I don't think in the churches we're even aware of this thing.
Yeah.
Read that one more time.
For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
That
the
means
body
all
of Christ. Yeah.
That means all of us. Because believe me, the day is going to come, and Raven, you know it has come with me in the past, around a year ago. Well, I was just so low, I could walk under a snake's belly without touching them.
Yeah.
This, folks, is the world we're in. Now, read Ephesians 6:12.
Carl.
This is...
Carl, are you from Tennessee or something? That sounds like something a Tennessean would say. I could walk under a snake's belly without touching him.
Wait a minute. I'm from New York City. You know, I'm from New York City.
I know you are. I know you are, but that just sounded like something real country.
There ain't no snakes in New York City. They're afraid to go there because of the people.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know what? If somebody's listening that sounds like they're not from down in Mississippi or Alabama, Please call in, because didn't that sound just as country as you can get? Well, that was country.
Now I see what you're saying. Yep.
But that was country.
But seriously, I have been to the point where I'm thinking, how come I'm the only one who feels like this? Folks, we're all going to be in this.
Right.
In fact, read Galatians 5:17 and then Ephesians 6:12. I want to reach the people who are hurting every week, the people who are hurting, the hurting.
Yes. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. We fight this all the time.
You just went through it Thursday night.
Yeah. Yeah. But what did I do?
No.
See, and this is something we have to be able to do. I am so thankful that I had a brother in Christ I could reach out to. And if we don't feel like we have someone to reach out, that we can reach out to, we are in trouble. I had someone I could reach out to and say, I need help. See, when we are in that, oh my goodness, I'm tearing up here. I'm so thankful that God gave me someone I could reach out to. I knew that I was in trouble. And so I called Kyle and said, help me, please. So I had somebody who knows this is what our spiritual gifts are for the edification of the body of Christ. And he knew that I was in Ephesians 6:12, which is where we really always are, right, Carl?
Always. Even if we're not feeling the fiery darts hitting our skin, we're still there.
Yeah. 6:12. But we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
And that's
always
what Job was fighting. Job wasn't fighting the enemies from down in hell. They were right up in God's face, and that's in Job 1 and 2. This is something, folks, that people we may not be aware of, but these powers of darkness, for whatever reason, God does not explain to us, but in Job chapter 1 and 2, it is very clear that these enemies of ours are right in God's presence in the heavenly realms, accusing us. And you know what? They are right. We are lowlife.
Yep.
But the cross and your faith in what Christ did at the cross is what levels the playing field. There is no level playing field. We deserve all the punishment, all the torture. We deserve it. None of us are good. Jesus Christ even said that as a man, he wasn't good. In other words, no man is good. The only way we are righteous is by Christ living in us.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? Let's do this, Raven. Why don't we go back to Job? We'll go to Job 1, and I want you to read 6 through 10. Let's just see what this says, because we're all in this area, folks. If you're born again here, not all. Someone who does not believe in Jesus Christ, and I mean believe, mean their faith is in him, their trust and their belief, not just intellectual. Someone not born again is not in this. They got other problems, and they're going to be monumental problems. Read Revelation chapter 16. There are going to be problems you'd rather not even be told about. But if you're a born-again believer, this is why I want this program to be thought of first, last, and always as a discipling program to help each other. Not just me. I'm not the great remember Johnny Carson used to have this great Carnac that had the answer to everything. No, we need each other. I need you. Go ahead, read six, and just absorb every word what's going on here.
Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them.
Do you see where Satan is, where his demons are? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why God allows this.
Right.
In Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11 through 15 is the Great White Throne Judgment. Right before the Great White Throne Judgment, Satan in verse 10 and his demon spirits are all going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Until that time, God allows them to accuse us right to his face. Why, we don't know, but go ahead.
All right. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it."
There you go. And I just happened to bump into Raven Thursday night. You see what he's saying? He's got access from the earth to the right in God's presence. Go ahead.
Yep. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?"
Which is every Christian. We're all in this spot.
So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land."
Okay.
But not
now. No, just look at 11, and this is what I saw happening with you and has happened to me in verse 11. Go ahead.
"But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." So this is what Satan's trying to get us to do. He wants us to curse God. He thinks that he's trying to tempt God, just like he tried to tempt Christ, who of course is God.
Mm-hmm,
he's trying to get God to destroy us, to hurt us, so that we will curse God. So when God won't do it, he says, "Well, give me the power to do it." Verse 12. So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord.
Now that is important, Raven. That's something that we touched on a little bit Thursday night. God limits Satan to what he can do.
Yes.
God limits Satan to what he can do. But when you get these feelings, folks, where you would, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:8, he says, "We would not, brethren." That means we want you to know this, brethren. "Have you ignorant of our trouble which came in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch we despaired even of our own life, the sentence of death we had in ourselves? Why? So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead." We're all going to have these battles in our Christian life. That's why I want you to think of this program and the two of us as discipling, not meaning that we've got the answers. We give you the scripture, and the scripture is what will deliver you from these attacks. There's nothing else. I can't do it, Raven. We can't even help ourselves.
Yeah.
No one's helped you.
And what will be your response? Will you become stronger because of it, or will you curse God?
or complain.
Yes. Yes.
Now, what you said earlier was key. You go through these troubles so that God can give you the miraculous healing, and then you can pass that on to other people. You know, again, it's like I don't want someone telling me that quitting three packs of smoking Camel cigarettes a day for years is nothing to it to quit if you haven't been a smoker. There is just something. Right. God allows us to go through this thing so we can have compassion on others. And not only that, but when Raven said in the beginning that you are going through these things so you can help others in the same position you're in, it doesn't mean
that's
you've
right.
gotten stronger. You are given the comfort that God gave. In fact, Raven, read Philippians 4:7. This is the comfort that you're passing on. You and I aren't passing on our comfort. We haven't got anything to help ourselves.
Yeah.
Read just the first phrase. Philippians 4:7. Just the first line or two.
Okay.
This is what we're passing on, and it's God working in us.
Philippians
4:7.
Oh yes, I love this.
But this is something that is not made. This is not generated from you or I, Raven. This is something God works in us, and that's what you said in the beginning. I forget the verses you were quoting, but these things happened to Paul so that he could pass on that same thing to others.
Yes, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding.
There you stop right there.
Yeah.
You can't explain it.
No.
Now, I'd like to go back to Job.
Okay.
And I'd like you to read chapter 2.
Okay.
And I'd like you to read through 4. Through 5. 1 through 5 in chapter 2.
All right. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" You know, I just want to make mention here. When God says to Satan, "From where do you come?" Or when he says to him, right. This is not some sort of a, I don't know where you're coming from. We're just like God knows everything. Just so we don't.
No, that's a good point. When God asked Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" He knew where they were. He wanted them to know where they were, that they were in rebellion. Hello. One of us have disappeared. Raven, I lost you. You died off. Hold on. She'll come back. Pull back, Raven. Hurry up. You know what? I'm going to get into something in just a minute that I wanted to cover anyhow. I want to go to 2 Timothy 3:15-16 and 17. And I want to show you that the very same cross of Jesus Christ, the very same cross that will save your soul, will also be profitable for you. For all of this edifying, all of this comfort, all of this peace during these spiritual battles that we are in. So let me read that to you. And from a child, this is 2 Timothy 3:15-17. From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Scriptures point to one thing, the cross. Everything points to the cross. From Genesis 1:1 up until Revelation 22:21. Everything in the Old Testament points to the cross. Everything in the New Testament points back to the cross. And it makes us wise to salvation. How? Through the Holy Scripture, the Word of God, not Carl's opinion of what it is. Now, here's where I want Raven and I to step in and conduct this program with our spiritual gifts we had to disciple people, to take born-again Christians, and for them to give us what we need when we're hurting, and for us to give them what they need when they're hurting. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, which we need continuously. You need to constantly, in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, Paul keeps talking about, stick to doctrine, sound doctrine, base everything on doctrine, the doctrine of the Bible, not doctrine of men. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. For what reason? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Thoroughly furnished unto good works. So you see, with the same cross that saves your soul in 2 Timothy 3:15, lasts you until the grave as far as building you, correcting you, reproof, supplying you with correct doctrine and instruction in righteousness. That is what discipling is. Discipling is verse 16 complete. For what reason? That the man of God may be perfect, meaning complete, thoroughly furnished all good works. When you are the Bible's in the King James, the New King James, the word perfect doesn't mean that we are perfect in performance. It means we are perfect in the fact we have the perfect one, Jesus Christ, living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit when we're born again. Just a minute. Raven passed off and see if she sent me a message, because I'm not going to call her. But if I call her, if I go ahead and call her, I might take a gamble on blocking what we're doing here and actually knocking myself off the air. So just bear with me a second. I'm technically not good. Are you on the radio? Because I cannot hear you. Oh, let me tell her yes. Just hold on, folks. Just bear with me. Just hold on. I'm still typing. Raven thinks she's on the radio. She is not on the radio. I've got to get a message to her. She's no longer on. All right. I've got that done. She's going to be calling back here very shortly, I'm sure. So the point I'm making here is what we do with the cross of Christ is our salvation. And that is I got the message, yeah. Well, do you see where she's gone completely?
Oh, okay.
She disappeared. I just sent her a message.
Okay.
I will hang up and call back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she just disappeared.
Okay.
Okay, that was my wife telling me that Raven thinks that she's still on the radio and she's not. So just hold on. She'll be calling in any second. I am not good with technology, folks. I'll tell you that right now. I get by, but I'm all thumbs, if you know what I mean on that. Hello there.
go there. That was very interesting.
Yeah, you just, to be honest, you just disappeared from the screen.
Okay. Well, on my end,
and
I was still on there.
I don't
there
know
and
what
I,
happened or why, but you did. You just
I don't either.
Totally disappeared
I was
from
just
the screen.
I was just chit-chatting away, boy.
Yeah, I know you were. And I knew you probably thought that I didn't hear you, but you just, all of a sudden, you just hung up.
Okay. Like I said, on my end, I was still connected. So I thought you, I thought somehow you had dropped off. So that was,
no,
okay. Well,
no, no, you just,
anyway.
5 minutes ago, you just disappeared from the screen.
All right.
But anyhow,
well,
let's go back. I was reading 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16 and 17. It says, from a child, you have Holy Scriptures, which make you wise to salvation through faith in Christ. So the we're seeing here that the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, they make us wise to salvation. And this is where I want to continue with where I think you and I have a God has put us here for, your salvation. There are people out there bleeding to death spiritually constantly, folks, that we need to have a group of people that is able to edify these people when they're desperate. Not that salvation and evangelization is not important. To say that would be ridiculous. But there is a great dearth in the Christian churches. Before I went on, at 2 minutes before my program started, I was speaking with a pastor, and he was reiterating to me that there is no discipleship program in the churches, and that's a general statement. Because people are bleeding. Even there isn't a day go by I don't read something on Facebook on the Christian sites where these people, they just don't think they can get through another day. You even know a couple of the people.
Yeah.
You know the people that told you about Thursday night that are going through the same thing you're going through.
Yes.
You know the gentleman, Scott. God is to the point where he's told me he doesn't know how much longer he can hold up with discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be able to disciple born-again believers, but it's not us that does it. It's God who does it in us. So we can do the verses you read in the beginning were perfect. That what we can do is when God gives us that comfort and that peace, we can share that comfort and peace that God has given us with other people. That's discipleship is about. We need this constantly in the church. And it all goes back to what? The cross. Your salvation is the cross, and all of the discipleship is the cross. What I'd like you to do is go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Yeah.
Or chapter, not 2. Chapter 3. And I want to show this, that the cross is not only the foundation, but be careful that when you build on that foundation, which is the cross, you build on nothing but the cross. All right, go ahead and read verse 10.
All right. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it.
Okay, now, I have laid the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the foundation. That's salvation. You see that?
Well, verse 11.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Let's verse 10 still. Here's the key, folks, where we make so many mistakes and we all have this tendency. And Paul talks about it in Romans 7 and Galatians. The moment you're truly born again, you then go back and build the rest of your Christian life on your works, not on the foundation which is laid, which is Christ. Do you see that?
Yes.
Let every man take heed how he builds on it. The building on it is once you're born again. And how do most people do it? And the whole book of Galatians was written about it. the moment you're born again, the enemy now wants you to go back depending on yourself.
Yes.
No
Absolutely.
Other foundation is laid. That not only means no other foundation, which is the cross, laid for salvation, but from your moment you're saved to the time you die.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
And when you're building on that foundation, that means your Christian life. And that's where there's got to be more discipleship in the church to encourage people to go back to the very cross that saved them. Only the cross that saved is going to comfort you when you get down to where you feel you wish life would end. Nothing else will. I can't.
Right. Yeah.
That is the only thing, Raven, that I was able to even think of when I talked to you and Terry on Thursday night. Bring you back to the same foundation, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You have to come back to the cross. Nothing is accomplished in Christianity apart from your faith in what Christ did on the cross. Nothing.
Yes.
Now, Raven had a little, go back and read Job now, chapter 2, 1 through 5. And then I'm going to I want you to, then I'm going to ask you to explain something else.
Okay.
Because I know you're the one who enlightened me on this one.
All right. Job 3, did you say?
2.
Oh, 2, 1 2. Through 5. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it." This is where you and I had a discussion, which you were not involved in, just a few minutes ago. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause." So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face."
Now read 6 just to be sure that God is in control of Satan.
Yes. "So the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life.'"
Now, I want you to read 6:1 and 2:1 again. Or no, excuse me, chapter 1, verse 6, and chapter 2, verse 1. There's a very important point here.
Okay. Now, 1:6. "Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them."
Now
and
read 2:1, same thing.
"Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord."
The problem is, folks, the closer to God you get, the closer to God you get, the more Satan is going to present himself and hassle you and ask God's permission to torment you. And God is only allowing it to get you to trust in him and not your own self, which is contrary to much of the teaching and preaching in the Laodicean church that we're in right now, where they're trying to get you to get stronger on your own. You can't do it. You have to go back to the very cross that saved your soul.
Yes.
But every time you go to God in prayer, Satan is waiting to pounce on you. And he's asking God, how much can I do? What are the limits? Give me it, because I'm going to do everything. If you tell me I can rip their flesh off, I'm going to rip it off right now.
Yeah.
God limits everything Satan does, so this is not to create fear, please. No fear.
That's a really good point you made, Carl, because, you know, we have a lot of people out there saying, well, just like you mentioned about Sue, a lot of people are out there saying, well, if you are under any sort of attack, if you are going through any trials or tribulations, it's because you are not really a Christian, because you're whatever. You know, because you're a mess, you're this or that. You know, now it could be. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Not always, but sometimes it is. But sometimes it's simply because every single one of us needs to be brought into maturity in Christ. And this is just a...
Now, you're going where I said before you hung up on us.
Okay.
And I'm only kidding you. Before you, I said I want you to say something in Job that you brought up to me. Read 2 Corinthians 1:9 again.
All right. 2 Corinthians 1:9.
This is very key to people who are being beat up on. You brought something up to me about the book of Job, and I want to stress this, because the enemy will, if you don't understand and recognize this, he's going to beat you up on this fact.
Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead.
And Raven, you're the one that showed me maybe a year and a half ago that Job was going through, even though he was a righteous man. In his own, he was a self-righteous, and he was a good man, not being cynical. He was good. But God still had to Job allow him to be broken in order to depend on him. And that's what God allows for all of us. Now, why don't you just elaborate on that a minute, where you saw, and I didn't say it, that God is allowing Job, because he's a righteous man, and he does hate evil and loves God, he's got to put him through these same trials he does us, so we don't trust in ourselves. And that's something
100%.
I never saw until you mentioned it. I never saw it.
Well, because we aren't told that. We aren't told that. What are we told about Job? Oh, the patience of Job, the patience of Job. That's the only thing that we are ever told, is that Job is such a patient man. And I decided a year and a half or so ago, whatever it was, that I wanted to do a study of Job. Let me tell you something. I did not decide to do that study. God brought me to that, because this was huge. This was huge. I mean, in the first couple of chapters, Job was, in the first several chapters, Job was very, very patient. In fact, you know, he told his wife, you know, stop trying to tell me I needed to curse God, because she said curse God and die. She told Job.
Hold on. This is the point I want you to make. You were right. He was patient. But even with people who are living for God, he still got to break them of depending on self. And that's what you showed me in Job.
Right. He came to the point where God showed him where he was not so patient. See, we all have our flaws, just as we started to talk about in the very beginning. Yes.
And that's where we need to disciple other people in these areas, yes.
Yes. Every single one of us, you know, there are many people who want to stand up, and I'm not just talking about pastors, but there are pastors who we will look at them in the church and we think, oh, look at our pastor. He's so perfect. He has nothing wrong with him. Certainly, he lives such a holy and perfect life.
Yep.
I'm going to say this as sweetly as I can. Baloney. Pure baloney. There is no one. That's right. There is no one good. Not one. Not one. Not one person on the face of this earth, on the face of this earth, is good.
And that's
I believe that's correct. We are all a complete and total mess. All of us. The only thing good in anyone is if you are born again, because then God comes into us and makes us good. He's the only goodness in us. And we still have in us this flawed human, we're still this flawed human body. We still have this flesh. And that's what, as you brought up earlier, we are fighting. As long as we live, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And we will go through that our entire lives as long as we live in this body. It's always going to happen. And that's exactly what Job fought. And unfortunately for him, he did not have the Holy Spirit residing in him. We are so blessed now to have the Holy Spirit who comes and resides in us. But he did not have that. And you can see in Job, he began to complain a little bit. He began to complain just a little bit at first. In Job 7, verse 16, he said, I loathe my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone. For my days are but a breath. He started to complain a little. See, he started to complain a little bit, and which is what we do. We start to complain a little bit. In verse 20, he said, have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? See, he said, when have I ever sinned? And see, this is part of his problem. He was so good that he began to be self-righteous. What have I done wrong?
He was trusting in himself, and that's why God had to do what he does to us, so we trust in God, not in self.
That's right. And this is what happens. Sometimes we walk with God for so long that we start to get a little puffed up. We say, what's wrong with me? I'm so great. You know, look how wonderful I am. I'm a wonderful man. And unfortunately, the closer we walk with him, Satan likes to come along and say and put words, put thoughts in our head one way or the other. He likes to either make us feel very, very guilty or he likes to make us think that we are very, very good. Look,
that's right.
You're so great.
He'll use the very good you do against you.
That's right. Which is, I think, this is my opinion, but I think this is why you see some of these great, great pastors fall. The ones that you least expect. They're preaching and they slowly and slowly build these churches until they've got these huge mega churches. And all of a sudden you see them fall from great heights, you know, and you think, oh, he preached so wonderfully. How did this happen? The same way that Job just, you see this if you really read all of Job. You know, you see him slowly as all this stuff happens, he starts to say, well, I'm such a wonderful person. He says in 9:21, I am blameless, yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. It is all one thing. Therefore, I say, he destroys the blameless and the wicked. He's looking to God and saying, basically, how dare you?
How dare you do
this to me? You're putting me in the same place as you're putting the wicked people. You're hurting me as if I were one of these wicked people. But I'm not. I'm so wonderful.
He'll get you to the other point where he makes you feel you're useless even to God.
Yes.
Which is where I have recently been.
Yes. In 10:2, he says, in chapter 10, he says, my soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. Listen to what he says to God. How dare you? This is basically what he's saying. How dare you condemn me? Think about that. He has become so angry that he is being injured by what he thinks God's doing it. But he's, who do you think you are? He's basically saying, how dare you allow me to be injured in this way? He's angry. See, he's becoming angry.
Again, the point, and eventually someday we're going to get to reading the verses, the point I want to get to is no matter where you are, even on one end of the spectrum or the other, or in the middle, or somewhere in between, you have got to go to the cross with everything.
Exactly.
Because the cross is the only place that the enemies have been defeated. Now, I'd like you to read Ephesians 6:12, which tells us our problem.
Yes.
This is our problem. And then I'm going to read the solution.
Yes. This has been the problem. This has been the problem since Genesis. And it's the problem still today. This was Job's problem. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Now read Colossians 2:15, talking about what Christ did on the cross. 14 and 15, the cross.
All right. Yes, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle.
Hold on.
Yes.
In Ephesians 6:12, the first two things you said that were our enemy is principalities and powers. You see where at the cross they're all disarmed. Doesn't mean they're not going to oppress you, but they can't overcome you.
Right. And if they do, it's because we allow it.
Right, because we have the power of Christ in us. And back in Matthew 28, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and I have given it to you, and I will be with you forever. Christ has that power, but he's given it to us.
Yes.
We have got to realize, folks, We have got to realize, even as we disciple people, that we make sure they realize that power of Christ has been given to them and exercise it over these demons and tell them to get lost. They don't have authority over you. They don't.
Wow.
Now, if you
wow.
don't realize that, they're going to whip you.
Wow. Wow.
We've got to realize we've got to.
Them.
Do you remember, and I'm getting late now, but I'll just say this and I'll be done. You remember in the Old Testament where God said, I've gone in, I've conquered the land, I've defeated all your enemies, now you go in and possess it. One of my major
yeah.
weaknesses is I have not gone into the land and possessed it based on the fact Christ has already won the battle. Okay. I tell you what, that is where I see myself right now, Raven. I believe the battle's won, but I'm not going in possessing the land, which means applying Christ's victory to it. I let little things tear me up.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
I see just what you mean.
You know what? We'll come back next week. I want to get off so other people can get on. Why don't you say a final prayer and thank God? Because where we've gone today in Job, I had no intention of that, but it was good, very good.
God takes us where he wills, right? That's what we prayed for at the beginning.
He will if we're obedient.
Yes.
If we're
going
to go to, if we're going to do everything here on sermon.com without reading the scripture or praying to God, then we're winging it. We're flying a 747 without instruments, and that will result in a fatal crash.
Yes. Father, we are so thankful. Father, we're so thankful that you took control of this 90 minutes that we had and showed us exactly where you wanted us to go. And this is what happens when we pray and ask you to do so, and we relinquish it all to you instead of trying to take it over. We thank you, Lord, for showing us that your Holy Spirit can and will be in charge of our lives when we don't try to take it back over. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for giving us your Holy Spirit to take us down the paths that you would have us to go. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for joining us, Raven. We will be back next week, folks. Hopefully we'll be back next week.
Yes, amen. Uh-huh. Bye-bye now.